Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the Snowtastic, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, January 9th, 2024. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. Happy to have you along on what is getting to be a more wintry afternoon. High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Zommers, it is starting to come down with a little more frequency, a little heavier, and the wind is starting to whip a little bit as well.
Did you say the wind is starting to whip?
It's starting to whip. Thank you very much. No, it's and the roads are actually kind of getting covered now a little bit as well. So, do drive carefully in all seriousness out there. This is going to be around for a bit. Again, a winter storm warning in effect for most of the state of Wisconsin, particularly the southern third or kind of almost half of the state, just south of Wausau near Stevens Point, and then over to Green Bay, and then on the eastern side and over to La Crosse on the western side of the state, and pretty much everything south of that, there is some form of a winter storm warning in effect right now. If you draw a line diagonally from Green Bay down to the southwest part of the state, Platteville, or over in Iowa, in Dubuque, anything 80 to 100 miles north and west of that line diagonally from Green Bay to Dubuque, that is going to be the heart of this storm. Our folks, our listeners at WAUK over in Waukesha and down in Racine in Kenosha as well, you folks make it just a little less the closer you are to the lake, but still roadways could be very slippery. Still could see several inches of snow. But again, kind of here at WMDX in Madison, our listeners here up towards WISS in Oshkosh, certainly our listeners on WRCE in southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, and perhaps also at WLCX in La Crosse, all those folks, that's going to be the brunt of this storm. Perhaps 9-10 inches locally, maybe some more in certain areas. So be aware of that. Some areas are going to receive a little bit less, some a little bit more. Just depends on how the storm tracks. Also, going to depend on temperatures. A lot of temperatures right now hovering right around that 32-degree point. If it's 32, 33, it's still going to snow. It's going to be a very heavy, wet snow. That adds up in terms of inches of accumulation less than if it was colder. And the snow is fluffier, you're going to get more actual inches of accumulation. The other thing to remember when it's this wet, heavy snow, in all seriousness, please take your time in clearing it. As people have heart attacks all the time, have breathing problems, if you're an elderly person or have a heart condition, please try to have someone else help you out to shovel that. It's simply not worth it. And be very careful.
Even if you're not, just take your time.
Yeah.
Like, I know nothing serious, but I've definitely hurt my back or legs or whatever trying to shovel super heavy snow really quickly. It's just, it's heavy when it's wet.
It really is. Also, you can check out, if you want to know all the road conditions, you can check out 511wi.gov. Again, 511wi.gov. And it will show you all the statewide driving conditions. Taking a look at that right now. Again, pretty much everything from Manitowoc over to La Crosse, if you draw a line there, almost all of the roads south of that line are listed in slippery stretches. There are also some roads, particularly kind of around the Dells area, Reedsburg down to Richland Center, and then Highway 11 in particular in Lafayette County near the Illinois line. Those are snow covered and slippery right now. So it's looking like kind of that southwest corner of the state over to near Monroe is getting the worst of or the heaviest of the snow right now, but certainly that lower third of the state right now, Manitowoc on the eastern side over to La Crosse in the west, those areas are still receiving the most amount of snow. If we zoom the radar out a little bit, we can see there is still a lot of snow left. Cedar Rapids and Iowa City right now in Iowa are getting hammered with some really heavy snow and winds right now. And all of that is moving very slowly to the northeast right now, which means a lot of this snow is still to come in parts of Wisconsin. So this is not over by a long shot. Keep it tuned right here to your favorite Civic Media News station. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, will continue to update this and look at it throughout the afternoon and into the evening. But again, best plans or best case scenario, if you don't have to drive this afternoon and tonight, please don't. If you absolutely must, do so carefully, plan ahead, and allow a lot of extra time because our and be polite also to our road crews, all the men and women driving those trucks doing great work. Just stay behind them. Don't risk it and try to pass a snowplow because that's where some really bad things can happen. So just be aware of that as well. 11 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, our friend and contributor from Crack.com, Brian Van Hooker, will be along. He has watched all of the artificial intelligence versions of Seinfeld.
I don't know about all. I think.
Well, I should say that. He's watched 24 hours of it.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot. So Seinfeld, very popular, you know, number one sitcom in the 1990s. And now, of course, like everything else, artificial intelligence has come up with their own version. Brian Van Hooker, why he did this, I don't know, subjected himself to 24 hours of this straight. We're going to talk with him at the bottom of the hour about that.
Well, to my knowledge, it's just on forever.
That's
just making new Seinfeld 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I can't believe
it. I don't know if it still is, but I know it was for a while.
I can't believe it's any good, but
no.
But we'll see.
I can't either.
Question I want to ask. Because I'm genuinely concerned, Well, I'm concerned, but I'm also interested in this. So the state Republicans, or at least the assembly Republicans yesterday, unveiled what they're calling a medical marijuana bill. My question to you is, if you had a terminal illness or if you had a condition in which medical marijuana, cannabis, was available, would you use it? Would you use medical marijuana if you had a condition where it was allowed? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. This bill covers a variety of conditions if it was passed, including cancer, HIV or AIDS, seizures, post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, Alzheimer's disease, glaucoma, severe chronic pain, Tourette's syndrome, or any terminal illness with probable life expectancy of less than 1 year. So the question is, if medical marijuana, cannabis were available in Wisconsin legally, would you use it? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark from the SAC. I'm not sure if you're calling in about medical marijuana, Mark, but my understanding is you're out driving in this snow. Please do so carefully as you talk to us. How are you, Mark?
No, I'm not driving. I'm just saying fortunately I can just stay home today. But
good.
Put your darn lights on no matter what time, if it's snowing or not. I mean, that it just makes cars more visible, no matter if it's bright daylight out there, makes cars more visible.
Yeah,
especially those white-colored cars. But,
right.
As far as the medical marijuana, I mean that how dare they limit it to? They say, well, if you're only going to live a year, you know, you can do it. But if you're only going to live 2 years, you can't do it. Well, it's just hogwash. I mean that there might be efficacy to you know marijuana in perhaps not in smoke form because that might be damaging to your lungs, but that. You know, there's all kinds of conditions that because marijuana has been illegal, research on it has been scant, if at best, and that as because of people like Robin Voss and his fellow Republicans, that it's still illegal, and that opportunities to research it as a efficacy of it being a effective in treatment of a variety of ailments might be has been curtailed. I mean, as somebody who's a cancer survivor, that I'm currently not using anything, but I'm all for it. If people want to do it, they should be able to do it. I mean, it should be legal recreationally too, because you can drink as much as you want, and that's far more dangerous than marijuana.
And Mark, maybe you know I don't. Just to make clear for our audience, I'm not sure that the entire bill applies only to people with life expectancy of 1 year. I don't know that, but I think if you have some of these specific things like cancer, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, Tourette's, I mean, I'm not sure if that's attached to a life expectancy or not, but I think it's kind of that catch-all is anything else that with a life expectancy of less than 1 year. Are you familiar with the bill? I'm not, so I just don't know.
I'm not familiar with it yet. I'm just going to wait till it comes out in its final form, but I do know that my father, he has since passed, but his eye drops for his glaucoma actually had some kind of cannabinoid in them. That,
oh, really?
You know, for his glaucoma.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
It was some kind of extract that there may have been some kind of synthetic thing, but I think it was actually in his eye drops. That,
right. I look at marijuana, cannabis. It's a natural plant, right? And we, as to your point, we have so many manufactured drugs out there. I mean, if there's something available in a natural form to help folks, I mean, why not? Is my opinion on this. But really appreciate you calling in, Mark. Have a great day up there in the SAC and stay safe. 844-967-2789. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, first thing I got to say is, isn't it wonderful that our legislators are so well educated that they're all doctors, that they can decide which specific treatment plan that you need, or rather, which specific disease or problem that you should be using cannabis for? I mean, that's just marvelous. Why?
I'm not sure if they got somebody to input on it or not. I don't know. But obviously, I don't know any of the legislators that are actually physicians or in the medical field. But your point's well taken.
Well, yeah. I mean, they keep up stuff like this, and why you'll have judges overruling the FDA and saying, let's say the morning after pill is dangerous.
Right.
But it's not more dangerous than Viagra. Oh, but wait a minute. That's a men's problem. Anyway, seriously, and regarding cannabis use, about, let me think, 5 years ago.
You got 45 seconds of the clock. Go ahead.
I'll make it as quick as possible. About 5 years ago, I woke up in the morning screaming in pain. Literally, I had a sudden change in my back, and I went to a physician. Basically, he said, well, the only thing we can give you to help is opioids. I said, let me contact my stepdaughter, who is in the cannabis industry in Boulder, mm-hmm. Colorado. It was treated with a combination of CBD and THC, and I am literally pain-free today.
Wow. Great story. Great job with the timing as well. Don't go anywhere. More calls on the other side. Todd Almost Show on Civic Media. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, January 9th. Mr. Zommer is on the board on this snowy Tuesday afternoon, at least snowy in most parts of Wisconsin, talking about this bill that is being introduced by Assembly Republicans that would make it legal for folks with certain medical conditions to use medical marijuana or cannabis. Republicans in the Assembly are the ones introducing it. The Senate Republicans are noncommittal. What are your thoughts? Would you, if you had cancer, HIV, seizures, post-traumatic stress disorder, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, severe chronic pain or Tourette syndrome, among others. If you had one of these conditions or something like that, and you were told that you could get relief through using medical marijuana, not smoking it, but a gummy. It looks like a gummy bear. You just chew it up. Would you use that? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Taking your calls on medical marijuana. Also taking your calls if you're just, out and about in this lovely snow, such is the case for our next caller, Susan. We appreciate you calling in. Susan, what say you on this snowy Tuesday afternoon?
Well, it's absolutely lovely out here. I'm really enjoying it. I love to walk in snowstorms. But anyway, I think the biggest thing is that the Republicans really didn't talk to people who are in the industry to figure out how to move through this. And it might be cool of you to have Alan Robinson on. I know he was on the Devil's Show one day, and I think he has a lot of information because he's been following this really closely. But I mean, I'm open to having recreational marijuana. People smoke anyway, so we might as well, you know, get the dollars from them getting it safely and not that it's not laced with fentanyl. And I know that family members who use THC and CBD combinations for myriad of pain management and a lot of other things. So I think it has a lot of benefits, just like anything, you can overdo it. But I think it's really important to get experts in the industry in to talk about it, because those are the people who are going to be able to make smart choices if they're going to start with just medical. And also, is it a synthetic? It might not be, as I understand it, synthetic is not as safe as the regular stuff. So that's the only thing. And so you're going to start, you know, putting the fox in the hen house, as opposed to really having somebody who can talk about this in a very knowledgeable manner and make decisions based on that, not just because they determine that 10 or 15 or 20 things are okay that the rest of the people are going to have to slide. Mm-hmm. And so those people, a lot of people still go to Illinois and Iowa and Michigan to get their medical marijuana, because it's going to work out better if it's better stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's quality. It's like your drugs. You want quality drugs. So,
Susan, what do you, I still appreciate your call and your viewpoint on this. What do you make of this? One of the co-sponsors of this bill is State Representative Tony Kurtz, Republican of Waniwok from Southwest Wisconsin, a guy I've been pretty hard on for his stances on the UW system. But I want to set that aside for a minute because he's a co-sponsor of this. He's a former U.S. Army attack helicopter pilot, obviously a veteran. And he said, you know what, veterans struggling with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, this is something that could really help them and thousands of other veterans. Now, I get it that the Democratic Party has been way ahead on this and has been asking it for this for years. But, do you give the other side, I should say the other side, but should Republicans like Tony Kurtz get at least some credit from going from absolutely no, we're never going to have this in Wisconsin, to at least coming around to saying, you know what, there are people out there who medically need this. And is this at least a start that could help people, to your point, understand what marijuana, cannabis, CBD is really all about?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I give them kudos for opening the conversation, but at the same time, I feel as though it's like we want to do this, but we want to do it just so that we can only have X number of people doing it. And I think really it's a vote thing for Voss. I think for him it's more of a political angle. But I think if they had a really honest conversation with people in the industry who really have done this for a long time and understand the ins and outs of it and how it works, because there's so many little Delta 8, Delta 9 or whatever. There's so many things that are part and parcel of this whole industry that I think, don't you want to start with the best that you can put forward instead of just kind of slipshod it your way through?
Yeah.
I mean, for the people's safety as well. I mean, he talks about drugs, but, fentanyl is, laced in a lot of marijuana that people get. I mean, my grandson smokes and he goes to Illinois to get it, or he buys it from somebody. And I always tell him, you have to be careful where you get it, because people aren't always, doing the proper thing for you. So, right. I mean, I really feel, as with anything, you don't have to overregulate it, but I think you just have to regulate it to the point where, you can have people testing it. I mean, I was going to grow hemp this past year, and I had to get a background check. I had to get an FBI background check. If I grew it, I could test, they have to test my crop to make sure it doesn't have too much THC in it and all that. So, you have to jump through a lot of hoops to do anything like this. So I think it's important to really honor those people who know the stuff. For me, I just keep going back to that. If you're starting from something and you're just throwing this bill together just because you want to do it, as opposed to really doing a thoughtful process and getting all the experts in the area, especially in Wisconsin, because there are a lot of people in Wisconsin that are dispensing THC, CBD all the time. So don't you want to get them involved? I mean, I guess for me, that's the biggest thing.
Susan, great call. I appreciate the thoughtfulness. Anyway. I appreciate the insight. I mean, these are the kind of discussions that we need more of in this state. When we base it on facts, we bring in experts and try to get to common solutions to help folks. I appreciate your thoughtfulness, your great call. Enjoy that walk out there. Where are you calling from?
The town of Dunn.
Oh, fantastic. Very good. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Near Brooklyn area. Yeah.
Because the best town in the state. Anyway, yeah, I love to walk out here, especially in the snow.
It's quiet. Thank you. All right. Take care, Susan. Thank you so very much. Really, really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Off the text line from Wes in Middleton, WMDX says, this is the dumbest, least helpful piece of cannabis legislation in the country and does nothing to get us aligned with our neighbors. We are going to continue to bring millions of dollars across state lines, and you know what? They deserve our money more than our state government does. This should be vetoed, and the GOP needs to come back with a serious proposal. They look like they are going to need some policy wins before November when they have competitive districts to run in, unquote. That is from Wes in Middleton. Look, I appreciate the thought, Wes. I appreciate the viewpoint that, and as I said before, Democrats, the Democratic Party, have been, you know, really far out in front on this in looking at. I think Susan's call was so good because it's not just, you know, obviously there's a lot of comedy to be made. There's a lot of jokes to be made. There's kind of this flippantness of it. But I think if we look at this from a factual standpoint, a truthful standpoint, and as Susan did, and say, look, there are experts in this industry. Let's bring them in. Let's have them testify. Let's have them lay out what the benefits are, how to do it right so that it's not just willy-nilly. I think that's the way to go. And again, I've been, nobody's been harder on Tony Kurtz than Todd Allball with some of his things with the UW system. But everything has to have a beginning, right? And again, the Democrats began a long time ago. But at least there are a group of Republicans in the Assembly who are starting to say, let's have a thoughtful conversation. That's where good ideas begin. So I'll take a beginning for now. We're going to take an interview with Brian Van Hooker next. Don't go anywhere.
So I was walking down the street and suddenly a little old lady came up to me, tap, tap, tap on my shoulder and says, hey, you, you're standing on my cat. So I look down, and sure enough, there's this fat white cat just standing there looking up at me. And she says, that's my cat. You have to give it back. I'm like, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. This isn't my cat. But she's adamant and says you have to give it back. That's my cat. So I'm trying to figure out what to do, and the cat looks at me and says meow.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, January 9th. That is a clip. Yes, a clip from the new AI Seinfeld. Our guest this segment from Cracked.com and Cracked Magazine, Brian Van Hooker. Welcome back to the program, Brian. I want to open up with this first line. I'm going to clean it up for broadcast radio. Brian writes in his piece at Cracked.com, quote, honestly, I could give two craps about AI anything, which is kind of, unquote, which is kind of my take on this because I'm not a big AI guy myself. Brian Van Hooker, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me again, Todd. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. Now, for those that, I mean, of a certain age, obviously, I remember when Seinfeld, based on Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David's work, great number one sitcom on NBC in the 90s. A, how did this thing come about that artificial intelligence has created a spinoff, a take? How did this come about, Brian?
You know, honestly, I don't know all of the backstory on it. I know that for months, I'd heard little bits and pieces about a Seinfeld AI, which was called Nothing Forever. Mm. It was a Twitch stream, and it basically was just 24/7 of sort of Seinfeld-ish plot kind of just sort of existing out there. Yeah. It kind of been just coming up in the Cracked writer's room quite a bit. And at some point I'm a huge Seinfeld guy. I've done a bunch of Seinfeld oral histories. I've interviewed a bunch of writers from the show and actors, and even worked with a couple of them. Anyway, so I love Seinfeld, and at some point it came up, oh, hey, we should basically torture Van Hooker and have him watch 24 hours of the Seinfeld live stream.
That was also one of my questions, is what in goodness name led you to do this, to subject yourself to 24 hours straight of this? Because we heard what, a 15, 20 second clip? And quite frankly, I mean, okay, it was a chuckle, but I mean, 24 hours of that?
It was incredibly difficult. I've done a few of those things before. Like, I once did a 60 hour Marvel movie marathon at an AMC theater when I worked for a magazine called Mel. Yeah. But there was intermittent fun there because I was enjoying it. But this was 24 hours of just abject boredom. It was so bad. And like, I was kind of confused a lot of the time, and it was just, you know, it was, I don't recommend it.
I wouldn't either. And do you find yourself when you're watching the AI version of this, and was this just like, what am I trying to say? Not cartoons, but what am I trying to say? It was like a computer animation. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's what it is basically like a unending stream of scenes, maybe 3-4 minutes a pop in a diner or in an apartment with little, very kind of like PlayStation 1, but not even that good kind of graphics.
Oh, yeah. It looks terrible. Can confirm.
Yeah. I'm just looking at this.
Oh, it's got awful. just four characters kind of loosely talking about something. I found out, like, so when I first tuned in, I was like trying to figure out, well, who's who, because none of the characters look like Seinfeld characters.
Right.
And even the stuff you'll see online, unless you go to the actual stream, you're mostly going to see a character looks kind of like Jerry. But when you get to the actual stream itself, they don't look like Jerry, George, Kramer. Nobody looks like anybody, but it is three males and a female. End of similarities. And as I was watching the live stream, I was like, I'm so confused as to who's supposed to be who, whatever. So I looked up a little bit. Apparently, the live stream began as more Seinfeld-ish. Mm-hmm. Characters' names were not Jerry, George, etc. But it was very much like a stand-up comedian, his three friends, wacky neighbor, whatever. And then at some point, it went off the internet for a couple weeks or something, and got rebooted as kind of a generic sitcom, still kind of about nothing, but the stand-up comedian became a blogger, and it's still very much like they just talk endlessly in their apartment and in the diner. Well, and it's just nothing happens ever.
I was gonna say, bring this up, I mean, you know, I'm no lawyer here or you know, trademark person, but at what point does Jerry Seinfeld or whoever owns the rights to this show now step in and say, wait a minute, fellas and gals, this ain't gonna happen?
I wonder if that's why they switched formats at some point. Yeah. I mean, it was, from what I can see, it was always just different enough because none of the characters had names. You know, obviously the title's different, but it was, I mean, you could probably call it a parody of Seinfeld,
right,
devoid of humor.
That's hilarious. A parody, yeah. But devoid of humor. Boy, there, yeah. You certainly want to watch that, especially for 24 hours.
it was bad. Like, and it was occasionally, like, go ahead, please. Yeah.
No. I was going to, what's the point? I mean, did they sell advertising? Were people making money off of this or just for laughs and giggles?
I guess it just exists. Were there ads? Oh man. There were like sidebar ads and stuff on the Twitch stream.
Okay.
So maybe that counts.
All right.
So they you know, there were pop-up ads. I mean, there were ads that interrupted this stream occasionally, but yeah, that was probably the highlight of it with the ads.
So let me ask you, we're talking to Brian Van Hooker, author of this article on Cracked.com and in Cracked Magazine. It's called My 24-Hour Seinfeld AI Marathon. Were there any episodes or storylines in this, Brian, where you said, well, okay, fine, that wasn't too bad?
No. But at some point,
there are no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Zero.
Well, he did just say the highlight of the experience was the ads.
Right. The ads were, it just would wake me up occasionally. Because I started the live stream at 3 in the afternoon because I was like, all right, I can probably stay up and I can make X meetings, whatever. And by 5, I was falling asleep. That's how boring it was. And then I just started to jam myself full of energy drinks. The only mildly interesting thing that happened is a few hours into live stream, one character offhand mentions a goblin. And I was like,
okay,
what the hell is that? And then they just started talking more about a goblin watching them. There's a goblin. They're worried about the goblin. And I was like, what is this goblin? There's no goblin in Seinfeld. So then they stopped talking about the goblin. So the rest of the time I was watching it, the goblin would, and there's no actual goblin, there's just talk of a goblin.
Right.
They would just talk about it occasionally, the goblin's watching us or something. And I was like, that was the only thing to keep me through, was just waiting for more goblin speak. That was literally it.
Here's and Brian Van Hooker chronicles this terrible assignment from hell, apparently, from CP or whoever gave this to him. And good gosh, I can't imagine. But here, hour nine at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Just think of how silly seahorses look when they swim is the title of this. Yeah, and Brian Van Hooker writes, more talk about toast and existential dread. Later, Leo mentions finding a great parking spot, which feels Seinfeld-like for 2 seconds. Kelly then begins talking about reality show celebrities. Leo and Kelly have merged their topics into a show about celebrities trying to find parking, which is nearly the premise of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And of course, that was kind of the next series that Jerry Seinfeld did on Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, they got a little close to it. I mean, that was the thing that not only, so as far as what was so boring about it, the existential dread, really. Like, mm-hmm. so much of the talk was like about life and philosophy, but like just blank, empty words. Mm-hmm. And like Jerry would blog about it and it was really serious. And like it was constantly like just going back to like these people talking in a way that sounds philosophical, but just so boring. Oh my God.
Yeah. It just, so why, I guess, you know, there were some pop-up ads and stuff like that, but also I think to maybe not take a super serious turn, but the more I go through this and read your work here and now listening to you, it just drives home the point that human beings are essential to making art. I'm sorry, computers just can't do this stuff.
I think you're right, although I do think sometimes, respectfully, that attitude under, like, I'm friends with a lot of comic book artists. I'm a big Ninja Turtles fan, and I just lots of people who I know who are artists there, and I see like how much people kind of propagate AI artwork as having validity or even entertainment value. So even though Seinfeld has zero, the nothing forever, the Seinfeld live stream has zero entertainment value, I do think that especially for illustrators, like, there is a genuine threat for AI art now. And I mean, the writer's strike kind of touched on AI stuff, so I imagine the danger for other artistic professions with AI isn't completely absurd. It doesn't mean the stuff's going to be good, but I mean, a lot of stuff that's out in theaters that were written by people that aren't good. So.
Well, your point's well taken there, but I guess that I just look at, you know, working people that are, and you know this, I mean, most people in acting are not filthy rich and aren't living in, you know, West Hollywood or Santa Monica. They might have another gig or whatever just to get by. A lot of writers, I mean, not every person writes an Oscar winning, you know, screenplay. A lot of writers are just getting by and, you know, acting, writing, the creative arts, they're jobs, they're an industry. And I just don't know that the computers can ever do that as well as a human being. But to your point, maybe
I don't think they can do it as well. I don't think they can ever do it as well. But I do think there's some level of concern about them that's valid.
All right, back
but
to
yeah, they can't do well.
Back to the silliness. Hour 22. He's almost there at 7 a.m. So you didn't. I mean, maybe you dozed off for a nap, but you actually watched this for 24 hours straight.
Yes. Yeah. No, I never intentionally said I'm taking a nap. No, there was a few moments where I was like, ah, and then I realized I was asleep for the last 20 minutes. But
all right,
that was very rare.
Hour 22, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brian Van Hooker writes, quote, "Then I arm wrestled a kangaroo." What is this about?
That was one of the quotes from the character. Everything I put in my piece, all the titles are quotes from the characters. A lot of them sound like they're trying to be funny, like arm wrestling a kangaroo. But there's no, first of all, there's no timing. That robotic sort of sounding voice that we started the segment with.
Right.
Everything sounds like that. Everything. That same stilted speaking. And there's no mouths moving or anything. So the male character, there's three males, one female. It's hard to tell who's talking a lot of the time because nobody's ever moving their mouths or really indicating. So it's, there's no timing to it. So even something that sounds like, oh, that might be funny, kangaroos, whatever. No, it isn't.
It's just, it ain't happening. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a, so did you learn anything, Brian Van Hooker, after watching this stream 24 hours straight? Did you, what thoughts did you come away with?
I mean, when I was like kind of wrapping it up, I was like, oh, I better have some sort of summation here. Cause that's what you're supposed to do in writing.
right.
But I mean, as far as AI goes, I learned that, yeah, I don't think the tech is there yet to make it truly interesting, or at least it wasn't on display in this. Mm-hmm. Although at any given time, there was approximately 40 people watching.
Really?
Like there were more people watching in the middle of the night, which stunned me, like 3 a.m. There were 45 people watching.
We were talking about medical marijuana before you came on. Do you think people were maybe, you know, imbibing a little bit when they're watching this?
Maybe. Or like maybe they just left it on and fell asleep. I think it's the latter. But either way. Yeah.
All right. Can you stick around? One more quick segment here. We have a question for you when we come back about Mr. T. Don't go anywhere. It's Brian Van Hooker here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will be taking over these very airwaves after a check of news and weather. At the top of the hour, Matt Flynn Direct. Matt was delayed. He was on a little vacation, and he was delayed. So that's why there was a best of run yesterday. Hopefully the snow has not delayed Matt today. He'll be back with an all new program for us after the top of the hour. Right now, a brand new interview with our ongoing contributor here from crack.com. We always appreciate him stopping by. The wonderful and talented Brian Van Hooker of crack.com, who wrote this article called "My 24-Hour Seinfeld AI Marathon." And again, Brian, thanks for being here. I would encourage people to go to cracked.com and read the whole thing, because I think the humor in your writing, which is fantastic, is just the fact that you forced yourself to slog through in your words something that it's pretty goofy.
Very goofy, very boring, devoid of any merit whatsoever. Yeah.
So we were talking over the or during the break there quickly. If you could tell the story on the air, this is hilarious. You spent time and you were a Times Square mascot in New York City for a minute.
Yeah. So I mean, we were talking about how I got to do this piece, and so in the past, working for a magazine called Mel Magazine, I had kind of put myself through some other sort of painful marathons, and one of them was I spent 8 hours one day as a Times Square mascot. I put on a costume of a Ninja Turtle, Raphael, and went out there to try to collect money as a mascot for the entire day. Came away with $5, immediately spent more than that on pizza for dinner. So I ended up in the red after a day of a Times Square mascot. You have to really hustle.
I bet you do.
I couldn't cut it. Yeah.
You'd be a little aggressive.
And
I hadn't been out to New York in years. And my sister and I went out and saw Kimberly Akimbo on Broadway this summer. And holy cow. I mean, yeah, some of those people are super aggressive. And here's what I fell victim to. Not the mascot. But, of course, Todd being Midwestern Nights, where we got out after the show. And it's a lovely evening in New York City. And a couple of guys come up and say, hey, dude, you like to, you know, listen to our music. And like we're giving these away, and I'm like, oh, that's very nice, you know, and I'm like I have a radio show back in Wisconsin. I'll give you guys a plug. And then I said, well, yeah, you know, it's whatever it was. They're asking for $15 or whatever it was. I'm like, all I got is my card, which I literally did. I had no cash on me. And they're like, oh, well, here's our iPad or whatever. You could just. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And so one of the guys took it away from me, and the other guy goes, just keep it.
If you're ever visiting New York and you're not used to it, never acknowledge anyone trying to hand you anything ever.
And see, that just feels rude to me.
Never. No, you can't do it. You have to pretend they don't exist. That's the rule.
All right. So. All right. Before we forget here, now our friend CP has asked me to ask you what you told this story. We had 30 seconds, but I want you to tell the full story here. Mr. T, the great actor, Mr. T, once called you, quote, a good guy. Explain.
I was working for, I believe it was Maxim magazine or Men's Health. I think it was Maxim. And it was one of the earlier interviews I did. And an opportunity came up to interview Mr. T for like a new ad campaign he was doing for some company. I can't remember what it was now. But it was some inane company. And I interviewed him. It did like, just like this long kind of goofy interview. I'd met him once before when I was an intern at Conan O'Brien, and he was really nice then. So I kind of brought that up.
Sure.
I remember asking him dumb questions like, who's your favorite Muppet and all these other things.
Mr. T who his favorite Muppet was?
Yeah, he answered Miss Piggy, which I was very happy about.
That's fantastic.
He was a delight. And he was at some point during the conversation, he goes, oh, you're a good guy, Brian. And it just struck me. It just like stayed with me forever. Annoyingly, the magazine never ran the interview.
Really?
It infuriated me. So it's just sort of, I think I have a rough recording of it somewhere, but the highlight, because it was only one of the first celebrity interviews I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And being called a good guy by Mr. T was pretty special.
That's pretty cool. I can't say that.
And the fact I've also had Gilbert Godfrey make fun of my name, which I thought was another highlight. So when he was
during the interview.
Yeah. On his podcast, I was a regular listener there. And at some point they did like a fan mail thing.
Oh, really?
To have my name mocked I mean, it's easy to mock my name, but to have that taken on by Gilbert Godfrey was
pretty good. So. Pretty good. Right. Yeah. When people of that stature are talking about you.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Anything else? Got a couple more minutes, Brian Van Hooker. Anything else on your mind these days? What's in the mind of Brian Van Hooker? What's coming up at Cracked.com? What should people know?
We're doing lots of cool stuff at Cracked. We have, in addition to our format of, like cool trivia and things like that, We're doing more interviews, more oral histories. I did an oral history of Drunk History last year, where I interviewed a lot of people from that show, like the creators, the writers, some of the actors, people like Jesse Plemons and things like that who were on the show. So I did a big oral history of Dr. Katz, professional therapist. So we've been trying to, in addition to delivering what people are used to, more comedy history, big interviews. We interviewed David Cross last year, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, people like that. So Cracked has been evolving over the past year and a half, I think. With new kinds of stuff. So.
Well, that's great stuff. I mean, I hate to quote Bill Cosby, but he used to say, if you're not careful, you might learn something. So you'll come for the humor, stay for learning something at crack.com.
He used to say lots of other things too, but we won't bring those
that's
up.
That's very true. I knew I was going to get in trouble if I brought up Bill Cosby, but... Brian,
find other people to quote.
Sometimes things just pop into my head, I don't know. Brian Van Hooker, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for taking the time. We appreciate you so much. You can check out the article at crack.com. It's called My 24-Hour Seinfeld AI Marathon. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Hey, always a pleasure, my friend. Stay tuned as our friend Matt Flynn. Now, Matt Flynn Direct is next. Also, Brittany Merlot will be in after the national news to update you on the weather. Again, a winter storm warning for the majority of Wisconsin, at least the southern third, up to 10, 11 inches of snow. By the time it's all said and done in certain areas of the state. Do drive carefully, keep the lights on, and slow down. Allow some extra time, or if you're able to, just stay home and don't drive at all. I want to thank Luke Mathers as well for being on the show today, as well as Brian Van Hooker, and all of you for listening. Stay tuned for Matt Flynn. Thanks to Mr. Zommers as well, our producer and engineer. For now, this is Todd Allball saying, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum. Keep banging on your drum. Keep banging on and your day.